Chapter 25. Federal officials express surprise at the magnitude of yesterday's quake. There is a minor fault line approximately under Batrachia, they say, but the chance of feeling a tremor is about 1 in 13 million. The sound of the kitchen radio drifted into Jason's room the next morning, waking him up. As he did every Sunday morning, he thrust the pillow over his head and tried to go back to sleep. And as he did every Sunday morning, he realized it wasn't going to work. It was time to get up. But when his eyes popped open, a flood of images popped into his head. Sophia the Third, Eve, Alex, voices, robots, horrible laughter, horrible writing, just kidding. Jason sat bolt upright. It was a dream, wasn't it? It had to be. He was filled with happiness and relief. Imagine thinking he had plunged underground and chased after a plutonium mutant. Imagine thinking he had actually lost Fred. Fred! He hopped out of bed and ran to Fred's habitat. When his head began to pound like John Henry's hammer, he knew something had happened. When he looked into Fred's home, he knew he hadn't been dreaming. It was empty. Letting out a deep sigh, he sank back into bed. He was barely aware when his parents called up to say they were going shopping. He was barely aware of the doorbell ring minutes later. Or was it hours later? Jason didn't know, and didn't care. But it rang a second time, and a third. Each ring pulsed through him like a mild electric shock. Jason was annoyed. He wanted to tell whoever it was to leave him alone. He stood up and shuffled downstairs. Bring! Jason wished his parents had gotten a doorbell. It didn't sound like the bell that rang between classes. He clutched the doorknob and pulled it open. Rubik! He jumped clear off the ground. It was a frog, as tall as he was, with a grimace that turned his face into a mask of evil. No! Jason shouted. He scrambled to his feet. How could this have happened? How could this thing have escaped? He was numb with terror. Without thinking, he slammed the door shut. Yow! Came a muffled voice from the other side. Hey, come on, is that any way to treat a friend? Jason stared blankly at the door. He knew that voice. Confused, he opened it again. Alex? He said. The latex frog head hung limp in Alex's right hand. Alex scratched his head, which was peeking out of a green frog costume. Behind him, Eve was rolling in the front lawn with laughter. I was going to say trick or treat, Alex said, but I guess you already decided against the treat. Sorry, Jason said. I thought you were... I know, Alex replied. You thought I was underboss number 7, your mutated pet frog. You mean to tell me you'd slam the door if your own pet frog came to it? Well, no, of course not, but... Then how come you did? Jason fell silent. He stared at Alex, befuddled. But I didn't. It was you. Are you being weird again? Ribbit. Jason felt a pang. The noise sounded so much like Fred. He could feel his heart breaking. That was a good imitation, Alex. But I wish you wouldn't. Ribbit. Alex shook his head. Couldn't do it if I tried. How about looking down, buddy? You won't make eye contact up there. Jason lowered his eyes. When his gaze reached the front mat, it stayed there. He felt his blood pounding through his veins. He felt his vision get blurry, then sharp again. Sharp enough to see that Fred was at his feet. Sharp enough to see that little hint of a frog smile on his face. He kneeled down, he picked the frog up in his hand. It is you, isn't it? Ribbit, came the answer. Jason felt his eyes start to water, until Alex let out a loud groan. Oh, please! I thought the soaps didn't start for a couple of hours! It was then that Jason noticed the lobster crawling on the lawn behind Alex. Plutarch? Jason asked. In the flesh, Alex answered. What? How? Hey, don't knock it, Alex said. Why ask questions? Eve stepped up to Jason's doorstep. I believe I know, she said. Remember the first underboss? It was nothing but a pure nuclear creation. Well, I think they were all like that, really. But the plutonium boss thought he could scare you by covering them with grotesque images of familiar objects. Like Fred and Plutarch, Jason said. Exactly. But how could they have possibly escaped? You underestimate the power of a pet to follow its master, Eve replied. My theory is that they were being held somewhere close to us. When we escaped, they found a way to chase after us. And we were so frantic we didn't see them stowing away, Alex added. Ribbit. Fred agrees, Jason said with a smile. He looked at Alex, then at Eve. Suddenly his face got serious. What about you, Eve? Where will you go now? I have told Alex's parents about my past, Eve said. Jason was shocked. What? They love that kind of stuff, Alex said. We'll tell everybody that Eve is a distant cousin who's been orphaned, and Mom and Dad had to take her in. Eve promised to tell them all kinds of outer space stories. And in return, they promised they would never spill the prunes about me. Ribbit. Fred says beans, Eve. I have a feeling you better stay away from the sling for a while. Alex tried to hold back a giggle, but it was hopeless. Jason joined him, and then Eve. And as Fred and Plutarch stared in confusion, their master shared their first good laugh together. The first of many. The end. And now a note from FX9. Dear reader, I hope you liked reading Blaster Master. Here is a list of some other books that I thought you might like. A Journey to the Center of the Earth by Jules Verne. My Teacher is an Alien by Bruce Coville. Starship Troopers by Robert Heinlein. The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. The White Mountains Trilogy by John Christopher. A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle. You can find these books at your local library or bookstore. Ask your teacher or librarian for other books you might enjoy. Best wishes, FX9. And best wishes from me, Chris Randazzo, from Geekade.com.